While it's true that putting our faith in Christ secures our eternal destiny with God and also redeems us from the penalty of our sin, it's not true that following Christ solves all our problems. Nowhere in Scripture do we find evidence that walking with God is easy. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues our verse-by-verse study through Paul's second letter to Timothy. And during the next half hour, we'll be reminded of the sobering realities that often come with our Christian journey. We'll begin with prayer before hearing the message Chuck titled, Traveling a Rough and Rugged Road.
We have expressed to you, our Father, to the best of our abilities and from the depth of our hearts, our deepest words of praise, gratitude. Thank you for your word. It lives and abides forever. Grass may wither and the flower may fade, but the word of the Lord will endure forever. That word is alive and active in shores far removed from ours, in settings of danger, sadness, and loss, as well as on mountain peaks of joy and delight and celebration. There are those this day giving birth to children, and there is joy and rejoicing over new life. There are those coming to Jesus Christ by faith this day, the beginning of a new spiritual journey. How grateful we are that those words from your word instruct us and teach us, not only in the rearing of children, but in the living out of the life for the glory of Christ. In the name of our Christ Jesus, we pray. Everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his newly formatted Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Traveling a Rough and Rugged Road.
I want to set the record straight once and for all, and it won't be easy, and I won't be able to quote many contemporary preachers or popular speakers as I do so. It is a message that is not popular, and I can express the entire message in 12 words. Now, I plan to go beyond that, but I can put it all in 12 words. Not only is life difficult, the Christian walk is rough and rugged. Again, not only is life difficult, the Christian walk is rough and rugged. The road we travel from earth to heaven is filled with potholes and detours and sharp curves, dangerous drop-offs, and numerous obstacles. It is neither easy nor simple. Never forget this. When you enter the Christian life, you enter a battleground, not a playground. You won't hear that in contemporary circles today, but you should. It is not God's desire to make us feel good. It is God's desire to grow us up. And the road that leads to maturity is a rough and rugged road. Years ago, a man lived named F.B. Meyer, pastor in a church in England. In fact, several churches, and left in his legacy dozens of books that to this day thrill the hearts of the readers. He put his finger on this particular issue when he wrote his book, Christ in Isaiah. Early on, he wrote this: Think it not strange, child of God, concerning the fiery trial that tries thee, as though some strange thing had happened. Rejoice. For it is a sure sign that thou art on the right track. If in an unknown country I am informed that I must pass through a valley where the sun is hidden, or over a stony bit of road, to reach my abiding place. When I come to it, each moment of shadow or jolt of the carriage tells me that I am on the right road. So when a child of God passes through affliction, he is not surprised. A number of generations later, there lived an old crusty cynic, a completely different kind of man in that same United Kingdom, named Malcolm Muggeridge, who late in life, after looking at Christianity with a jaundiced eye, of all things, came to Christ. What he wrote about the Christian life, I find equally refreshing as what F.B. Meyer wrote. This is, in fact, one of the finest statements I have ever read. Malcolm Muggeridge writes it in his work, 20th Century Testimony. Contrary to what might be expected, I look back on experience that at the time seemed especially desolating and painful, with particular satisfaction. Indeed, I can say with complete truthfulness that everything I have learned in my 75 years in this world, everything that has truly enhanced and enlightened my existence, has been through affliction and not through happiness. In other words, if it ever were to be possible to eliminate affliction from our earthly existence by means of some drug or other medical mumbo-jumbo, the result would not be to make life delectable, but to make it too banal and trivial to be endurable. This, of course, is what the cross signifies. And it is the cross, more than anything else, that has called me inexorably to Christ. Understandably, the message today is not a health and wealth and great success kind of message. It's a biblical message. It's a message directed to you who have the scars and heartbreaks of the past to live with, and the dark, dark memories of difficult times that punctuate you to this day as you live out your life. I've never heard anyone say that it is easy to grow up. I don't know why we have the idea that it is easy to grow up as a Christian. The Lord draws us inexorably to the cross. And in doing so, in the words of Jesus, you are to take up your cross. In other words, say no to yourself and follow me daily. It doesn't mean that there are not joyful moments. Of course not. But the point is, we don't really grow in times of joy and rejoicing. We grow when the bottom drops out of our lives and we recover. Somehow, finding a way to go on beyond the valley. I like the way Simone Veil put it. The extreme greatness of Christianity lies in the fact that it does not seek a supernatural remedy for suffering, but a supernatural use for it. If you have not discovered a supernatural use for suffering, no wonder you feel disillusioned. Small wonder that life for you has become even more dark than before. And so today, I invite you to a journey that isn't an easy one to take. I've said for years that when you enter the Christian life, you do not enter a playground, you enter a battleground. And all hell breaks loose against you. And you are discovering why it is written of Jesus that he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. People who look for entertainment stay shallow and superficial. Those who understand and endure suffering go to the depths and mature. That's what I want for each of us. And so it's with that in mind, as sort of a backdrop, I'd invite you to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And in doing so, I remind you these words were written from a dungeon. The hot breath of death was on the back of Paul's neck. It wouldn't be long before he would hear Roman boots above him as they would drag him through the hole, pulling him out of the dungeon, lead him to the Ostian Way, where the axe would fall and separate his head from his body. Time was short. It wasn't time to say silly things and to help Timothy feel good. It was a reminder to Timothy, my days are short, maybe down to hours. You have years ahead of you, Timothy now being, probably 20, 25 years younger than Paul. Paul says to him, here's the baton. Here's the torch. Take it and run with it. And so when he prepares Timothy for the journey, it isn't a journey of ease and relaxation. It is a journey of rough and rugged terrain. So he says to Timothy, You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So let's stay with the word picture of a journey. Let's talk about how we pack our bags for this journey. What do we need to put in our bags that will get us through the valley? What needs to go there and stay there so that we are equipped to handle what the journey has for us in all its hardship and pain and sorrow? Look at the verse. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You need a lot of grace. A lot of grace. Now, I interrupt our thoughts here for a moment and turn back to 1 Corinthians 15. Just momentarily look. Paul, in the end of this letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, drifts back into his own life and remembers the role of grace. As he describes the Lord's coming and dying and being raised from the dead, and being seen by a large number of people, among them the apostles that were to carry on beyond him, Paul writes, 15, verse 6. After that, he, that's Christ, appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep, meaning they have died. Then he, that's Christ again, appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. Watch closely. This isn't a man simply putting himself down. This is the truth. He appeared to me also. One of the qualities or characteristics of an apostle is that he must have seen the resurrected Christ. There are no apostles today, no matter what people may call themselves, because no one today has seen the resurrected Christ with their physical eyes. Paul was the last of the apostles. The Lord Jesus appeared to him, as he calls himself, the one untimely born. Verse 9, he's not being overly self-deprecating when he says, I am the least of the apostles, meaning I am the least deserving. I am the least of the apostles. I'm not fit to be called an apostle. Why not, Paul? Because I persecuted the church of God. Read 1 Timothy 1 and you will read of his persecution. With hostility he turned against those who named the name of Christ. And that's on his record. He turned thumbs down to those who wanted to live. He stood back and watched Stephen be stoned without intervening. He is a man who has persecuted the church. And he said, of all people, the Lord appeared to me, the least of the apostles. Then how can he go on into the Christian life? Verse 10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Three times in a single verse, he mentions grace. When I didn't deserve it, grace rescued me. When I wasn't searching for God, grace reached me. When I had nothing to offer, grace made me whole. When I faced the challenges of this new Christian life, grace empowered me. When I could hardly go on, grace enabled me. On and on. His is a life of grace. No wonder he's called the Apostle of Grace. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. On our way back to Timothy, just stop off at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians is the most autobiographical letter Paul ever wrote, so you learn more of Paul in this letter than you learn of him in any other. And here, in especially chapters 11 and 12, he pulls the curtain back on his life and tells us so many things he never tells us anywhere else. I'm looking at verse 8 in chapter 12. Concerning this, that is the thorn, Paul had been given a thorn in the flesh, some form of physical ailment, suffering, some penetrating pain, some desolating hardship, perhaps something like the loss of his eyesight or terrible migraine that wouldn't end, some form of affliction. He says, concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Let's stop there. Today's televangelist would say, all you need to do is name it and claim it. All you need to do is call on God, and he who never wants you to suffer will take away your affliction. He'll take away your pain. That is heresy. That is not what the scripture teaches. Paul says, I prayed three times. Oh, Lord, take away the thorn. Oh, God, take away the pain. Oh, God, relieve me of this. No, no, no. It isn't God's will that everyone be relieved of pain. It isn't God's will that everyone find a journey toward heaven that is easy and comfortable. Of all people, Paul, you would think he would provide that, but no. So what met Paul's needs? Grace. Look at it, verse 9. My grace is sufficient for you, Paul. Power is perfected in your weakness. Look at Paul's response. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses. I'll boast about my weaknesses so the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I'm well content with weaknesses. I'll live with this pain, with distresses, with insults, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, read the last part on your own. When I am weak, then I am strong. When God answered no, grace sustained me. When I was forced to admit weakness, grace kept me on the journey. When more and more trials hit me, grace met me at every turn. Now back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. The journey from this life to the next will be anything but comfortable or easy. Pack your luggage full of grace. Be strong in grace, Timothy. I would say today, be strong in grace, Dorothy. Be strong in grace, Bob. Be strong in grace, Donna. Be strong in grace, Chuck. Be strong in grace. Strong in grace. You'll need it. Otherwise, you'll become cynical. You'll leave the journey. You'll think God has forgotten you. And you'll forget the fact that God is doing a great work through you and in you. So pack your bags full of grace. So when we get to 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're not surprised to see that he says to Timothy, pack your bag well with grace. And I urge you to become people of grace. Grace with others and grace with yourself. See that what you have you did not deserve, you can never earn or be able to pay back. The journey will help. Grace will help you in your journey. Now look at verse 2. Chapter 2, verse 2. We need to help other people to prepare for the trip as well. Look at what he says. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Look at the handoffs. There's a full relay in verse 2. Paul says, I have the truth from God and I passed it on to you. Timothy has taken the baton. You're not to run with it, Timothy. You're to pass it on to those in your generation. Those in your generation are to pass it on to those in future generations. May I speak personally? I was not born with a knowledge of the truth. I was, like all of you, born distant from God, light years removed from a life of righteousness. By the grace of God, I was born into a home where the name of Christ was spoken. By the grace of God, I was in a home that loved the Bible. And so by the grace of God, my mom and dad were the first to tell me of Christ. I heard of him, and the Sunday school followed, and teachers there, as well as older men in the church. As I grew up in the church, I had those men who modeled the life of Christ. They became parts of the relay of truth in my life. And then I wound up going to seminary, of all things. And while there, under the careful, watchful eye of faithful professors, I learned more deeper truths of the Lord Jesus. And these mentors passed along truth so that I had become, by the grace of God, a depository of those lives that built that truth into me. And now I, of all things, have the chance to pass the torch or the baton on to others, including you. But it isn't to stop there. It's to go on to yet others. All of us, my mom and dad, my teachers in Sunday school, older men in the church, mentors and professors at seminary, all acquainted with sorrow and suffering and hardship, helped me become aware that suffering and hardship and pain will be a part of the Christian life. So I'm not disillusioned when it happens. It's as F.B. Meyer writes, I know that I'm on the right road when the rough and rugged terrain occurs. So that's the point of chapter 2 and verse 2. You need to help prepare others for the trip. This is what I call the apostolic deposit, the apostolic transference. The truth that goes all the way back to Christ, passed on to the apostles, passed on to the apostolic delegates, passed on to the prophets of the ancient days, passed along to holy men of God, the church fathers, passed along to other forefathers in the faith, and they have passed it along to us. We've learned it from pastors and friends along the way, and now we have the opportunity and privilege to pass it on to our children and to our grandchildren and to those around us. It's a process, an unending journey from one person to another.
Paul is passing the baton to his friend Timothy, and he's doing so with complete transparency. You're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll titled, Traveling a Rough and Rugged Road. Today's message comes from our study in 2 Timothy called Paul's Swan Song. To purchase the CDs or downloadable audio files that comprise this study, just go to insightworld.org. Chuck, as Paul wrote to Timothy about the end times, it almost seems like his letter was written today.
Well, it's true, Dave. Paul wrote, in essence, Timothy, in the last days, people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred, no self-control. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Paul paints a dark picture that sounds strangely familiar, doesn't he? His warning reinforces the reality that we are truly living in the last days right now. Well, this prophetic snapshot of our times is what compels us to turn up the volume on Insight for Living. Our days are short, and our mission to fill the dark places with God's light has never been more urgent or more important. For this reason, I'm appealing for your partnership today. Now, as a valued listener, you should know that our financial reserves at Insight for Living Ministries are nearly depleted. Yet, we refuse to let this temporary deficit become a discouraging factor or a barrier in presenting the power of the gospel every day on this program. So I'm saying to you, let's band together so that none of our ministry efforts need to be curtailed. If everyone gives something, God will use each gift, large or small, to close the gap. John wrote it this way, "But these are written that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name." John 20:31. In these last days, we want to reach every country on the globe with the powerful, life-giving message of the gospel. Please join with us. In doing so, respond now. Your gift will make all the difference.
All right, thanks, Chuck. And here's how to respond right now. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or give online at insight.org. And let me add, when you give a donation today, we'll be pleased to send you the brand new edition of the Gospel of John with Psalms and Proverbs from the Swindoll Study Bible. With a bold blue leather-like cover, this includes many of Chuck's sermon notes, insights for practical application, and even a daily reading plan. Request a copy when you give a donation today. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. Chuck Swindoll continues his message about traveling a rough and rugged road Thursday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Traveling a Rough and Rugged Road, was copyrighted in 2009 and 2015, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2015 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.